I'm going to take off with Zechariah 2, and I'm going to take it into the plumb line, just kind of periodically between this message. This is a sign in the heavens. I don't know if you're paying attention to this, but the last time this kind of eclipse took place was 1776. There's another one like this next year, April 8th. So two of them within a year, 300 years. 1776 was the birth of our nation. This was a sign in the heavens that a new day is birthing. A brand new operation out of heaven. Not new, but it's rolling out now. A glory that will roll out from the heavens. A people that will emerge in the earth. Exercising dominion and joint heirship the way we were designed to do. A people operating in the manifested glory of God and declaring the second coming king all the while this thing is going on in Israel. Let me say something about Israel, and then I'm going to have Cody come up and say something about this image, and then I'm going to take off in Zechariah 2. Let me read Zechariah 2, because he actually says this twice in this chapter. In Zechariah 2, he repeats it. Let me just pick it up for time. There's a man with a measuring line in his hand and measured Jerusalem. In verse 4, and he said unto him, run. There's a time to sit, time to run. Do you know you can run the fastest when you learn to sit? You'll do more from a seated position with Christ than you ever will with all the sufficiency you run around the earth with. If you can get your sufficiency under the authority and dominion of the Lord Jesus, and you can sit with him in a heavenly place, you can exercise dominion in an unprecedented manner. And he said, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. But thus saith the Lord, I will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in the midst of her. We actually use this scripture a lot when we're praying the plumb line. What that wall of fire consists of is what I want to talk to you about today. We, as the body of Christ, need a major paradigm shift in the way we pray. We have to move out of the old order of praying. We have to move in a place of dominion. We have to move from dominion. We are trying to administrate dominion, but it's not the way God designed it to be. God designed for us to go to the secret place. He designed for us to make an exchange, to take off the world, to take off our own sufficiency, to exchange into his sufficiency, to stand in his righteousness. Even Paul at the end of his life said, I want to be found in him and not my own. I mean, he recognized there was a whole greater realm that you could never obtain in your own. It doesn't matter what you obtain. His is always greater. His is a free gift. So why not receive the free gift? Let go of yours and stand in his. Take all the shame, the guilt, the condemnation. Take all the faults. Take all the weaknesses and shift with it. And let it go. And then stand in his. Now what you're saying, take your stand. With the stand, the Bible says, stand therefore in the grace. You have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That's all part of going up. There is an unlimited realm there once you learn to make an exchange. It takes a little bit of effort. It takes some maturity. It takes hunger. Because we speak from the heavenly around here. When Jesus appeared for Paul, he said, and Paul in his witness said, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. What's going to get the job done in the last days is not church. with milk and cereal anymore. We have to move beyond just trying to build a church to make everybody happy, but give them nothing. We have to move into the maturity where God has created us to walk so we can deal with issues. Listen, we see what's going on there. I don't know if you understand it. Our borders have been wide open. We don't even know who's come through those borders. By design, there are people in high places that want to see this. Global chaos. And we are going to have to learn how to depend, because when this stuff starts up in our country, because nobody thinks it that's going to happen here, you know. I was telling you a couple years ago, and a couple years beyond that, I said the covering of this country is not like it was before. It's been breached. Wherein we could have just sat back and relaxed. You can't do that anymore. We don't even know the evil that's going on. You see it. If you're watching, paying attention to the news, you can see people watching the slaughter of innocent civilians, and they're rallying for the people who did it in our country. Cities, college campuses, all over. There's innocent people on both sides. I get it. But you have to understand something about Israel. They're in a covenant with God, an everlasting covenant for the land and the people. They're in an everlasting covenant that cannot be broken. And God has bound himself to a covenant. If somebody comes to interfere with that covenant, to try to displace them, God himself will react to that in a form of protection called a wall of fire. And he'll put a wall of fire, and it doesn't matter who it is. They're not going to have their way, because God gave it by covenant to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, confirmed it. And it's not ever going to change. The Lord Jesus in his return is going to sit in that nation. So we owe a gratitude. We're who we are because that nation gave birth to our Bible. That nation gave birth to the heir of all heirs, Christ. And the devil hates them to this day for it, because they birthed the Son of God that was raised from the dead. And so in a time like this, we wrap our arms around them. We pray, we bless, we hold them up. Amen? We stand with them. But I want to show you something about what the Lord wants us to do. How he wants to do this. It's not just whispering a prayer. We can be very effective, but we're going to have to do this in our own nation. The Lord's telling me, he said, you need to get ready now. You need to start getting ready. You can do everything in the natural. I get this stuff that's going on out there. Amen. But let me talk you about more of this other realm. If we're going to get God's manifestation, we're going to have to know how he operates. We're going to have to know how to get that wall of fire around our home. What is that wall of fire? That wall of fire is the ministering flames of fire. The angelic host of heaven that encompasses, that surrounds, that fills an atmosphere that encompasses our life, encompasses our church, and encompasses a whole region according to someone's faith. He said, I will be a wall of fire and the glory in the midst. When the Lord came to Joshua, he came as he goes, I am the Lord of hosts. He goes, who is this standing? Because Joshua thought it was somebody, and Joshua pulled his sword out. And he goes, are you for us? Are you with us or against us? Choose your words, basically. He said, neither I come as the Lord of the angelic armies of heaven. When you hear Lord of hosts, it means the Lord of the angelic armies of heaven. They weren't with him. He left them at Jericho. They were there, and they encompassed Jericho. Well, who do you think pulled those walls down? They're the ones that tore the most fortified city of the promised land. God made an example of Jericho. But in Jericho, there was things there that resemble this whole plumb line. You can shift to that plumb line. There were priests, 7 of them. They were bearing trumpet horns, 7 of them. And they had an ark, and they would encompass the city, surround, crown the city. And they walked around it 7 days. God was encompassing that territory to make an example of the most fortified city in all of the promised land. Well, when that one came down, it struck fear in the ranks of the enemy. They heard about it. Are you come to do? We heard about what happened in Jericho. Rahab the harlot hung the cloth there, remember? And they said, take no prisoners except her. I mean, don't leave anybody alive except her. Take her and her whole family. And God did amazing things there. But those priests that encompassed that city, there were trumpets. Those have a representation now. 7 trumpets resting upon the Lamb. Those priests also represent the eyes, 7 eyes. Whenever you're 7, it's perfection. You understand what 7 eyes mean? It's the perfection of God's wisdom, light, omniscience, omnipresence. It's a wisdom beyond man, a wisdom greater than Solomon, a wisdom that Christ could know everything that happened before. They would come up and tell him he'd finish their sentences. He could see anything and everything that was going on. He was never once blindsided. Not once in his ministry did the enemy blindside him. He always knew. It was a perfected discernment. Could discern the hearts of people, the atmosphere. He could discern if men were setting traps against him. It was a discernment, but this kind of wisdom is what's involved in what we call this plumb line. We call that a plumb line. This plumb line, this wall of fire, and I'm going to show you how to pray with a plumb line. The Lord said, you're going to need this in this hour. You're going to need it around your home. You're going to need it around your church. You're going to need it around your business. You're going to need it around your nation. You need to pray this around Israel. Not just pray, but pray this plumb line. Understand what it is. You need to see it. Understand its power. That's good. So when he was in Corpus, he was watching this eclipse. And he saw something very amazing, because this is a sign from heaven. Hadn't been there since the conception of our country. I believe it's here to announce something is new. The day of the plumb lines at hand. So let me have him share.
So in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel with those 7. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro the whole earth. And the thing about the plumb line is it's a stone of 10 right here. He's got one. And they would drop it to find the level when they're building. And it comes from top down. And actually in Corpus Christi, and I have 4K video of this, the moon was coming down from the top. Everywhere else it was going left to right. But in Corpus Christi, it was coming from top down. As soon as I saw the little blip, I was like, that's the plumb line. It's coming from the top, because I was waiting for it to come from the left, just like it always does. But here yesterday, it came from the top down. So I just knew it was the plumb line. I just felt it in my heart, and here we are.
He videoed that. Let's give God glory. But it didn't happen everywhere top down, but it happened in the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, that sign from heaven hadn't been here for 300 years or more, suddenly dropped down. That eclipse didn't go sideways, it dropped down. He has a video of it dropping down. The reason this is so important, this is what they used to build with. It's a building instrument. They didn't build at the level, they dropped this down. And when they did, everything about the building had to align vertically to this plumb line. It's the way they could have vertically aligned so to make sure everything was vertically aligned. So everything that was out of alignment was placed into alignment because of this. This is called the alignment rod of heaven. It brings an alignment wherever it's dropped. It doesn't start from bottom to top. It's dropped from top down. By the time you start dropping the plumb line, you are already in position of dominion. Because Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The Bible says he was raised in glory into honor. And when he was raised out of hell, he was crowned with glory and honor. And he was made to have dominion over the works of his hands. That's when man's dominion was restored. The Bible says we've been raised together with him, made to sit together with him. So when we're together with him, we can actually move in a realm where the earth is under the authority. The name of Jesus is more than shouting or saying it. I don't know if you've ever shouted the name of Jesus at something and nothing happened. It's not just what you say. It's your faith in your operation of that name. It's where you stand in that name. It's the authority of where you're standing when you administer. All of heaven is under his name and earth. I get that. But it's your position that causes that name and that operation to advance into the earth. Even in the Lord's Prayer, the Lord said, when you pray, enter your closet, shut the door. It's not the closet where your shoes are. It's the secret place. You're shutting the world to the devil. Pray like this. Our Father, communion, worship, intimacy. But what was this other major component? Thy kingdom come on the earth as it is here in heaven. When you pray, pray to your Father in secret. When your Father sees you in secret. When he sees you in his face. When he sees you. We're trying to get all this done from an earthly perspective. It's not going to happen. It's going to get done as the heirs of the end time army of God begin to understand who they are and where they operate from. Just dropping the plumb line from that place has serious authority and power. And Jericho was like a model of that. You encompass the city. There are components there. There's glory in the midst. There's this angelic wall of fire. Let me have you go to a verse. I want you to see this. I'll bring you back to Zechariah 4 in a minute. Isaiah 66:15. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and his chariots like a whirlwind. You see the round rotation, the encompassing surrounding to render anger with fury and rebuke with flames of fire. In the midst of the flame of fire, he will rebuke evil. He will rebuke the laws that govern evil in the earth. He'll rebuke satanic second heaven influence, prince of the power of the air. He'll cause what's inside. Now, I dropped a plumb line, but really what it is, it's an encompassing. A territorial atmosphere encompassing around your home, around your family. You know, you can Google, it's so amazing. Google your address, and you can just drop right down on your home from space. And then there's a little button right there that says edit, and there's a little circle, and you can drop a round circle around your house. All you got to do is do that and print that out. And when you're praying, stand over your house, not in it. Stand in a position of dominion. Stand in a position of dominion over your church. You can do it over Israel. Just draw you a circle. Because God is a wall of fire around about her. And they have really... Man, when you upset God, you are in the wrong camp. You can't mess with that land. You just can't. And the people of that land, they're under covenant with God, an everlasting covenant. They'll all, whole nation's going to get saved. He's going to reveal himself in his last days to them. But when we pray, as chariots or a whirlwind, God has an army of chariots. Told Elisha, he goes, I want your mantle. I want a double portion. He says, ask what you want. I'm leaving. Elisha was like, well, give me double what you got. He goes, you have asked a very hard thing. But if you want double what I got, you better understand what's going on with me. I don't operate in the earthly realm. You're going to have to see me when I'm lifted out of here. And how did God live? A chariot of fire come down with a horseman. And it stood between the two of them. Elijah was swept up in that chariot of fire. He said, last master, I see the chariot of fire and the horsemen thereof. There are horses of fire. There are chariots of fire. Elisha gets this mantle. A king invades Israel. And Elisha's servant wakes up one day and said, oh my God, we're surrounded by armies. And Elisha's just sleeping, you know. Elisha just turns to his father, open his eyes. Greater is he that's with us than he's against us. And he sees the entire mountain covered with chariots of fire. The horses of fire. And the horsemen. He has an army. This is the army of the crown. When the crown is in operation, this army is present. They're like a whirlwind. They fill the entire mountainside. They struck the entire army blind, and Elijah walked them right up to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel wanted to slay him. He goes, no, 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 no. You're not going to slay them today. They're coming in here. He walked them right up there blinded. And they sent them out disarmed. That's how heaven works. He can disarm an enemy. The angels are going to operate in this hour like never before. We need to believe God sending them right now where those hostages are. When Peter was in a prison, surrounded four deep with guards, those angels broke down the prison walls and walked Peter right out of there. I think he put the men to sleep, but they didn't see him and bind them, whatever. But there was four different garrisons there. They walked them right out. Those hostages can walk right out of that territory because those people walk in darkness. We don't. And God can send angels on behalf of the church to release these hostages. We don't have to depend on our own all the time. But we got to get a hold of the heavenly realm. We got to get a hold of this incredible army that surrounds. Encompasses like a whirlwind. It's what he did in Jericho. He sent them and they surrounded the walls and they walked around. He said, in the 7 day shout, and all those angels were present. The whole chariot, they were all around and they tore the walls down. What a day that was. To watch the strongest fortified city come down without a single sword had to be drawn. These kind of operations will return in these last days. To deal with evil from a supernatural place. To deal with the world from a supernatural place means we're going to have to get a little supernatural. Otherwise, you're going to be believing for a miracle. We don't get to walk. We walk by faith, not by miracles. The ministering flames of fire. The heirs of salvation. Go to Psalms 24. This psalm is about the return of the King of Glory into the earth. This psalm is about the end time return of the Lord Jesus and his power, his glory into the earth. And watch. There's a lot in this psalm. I mean, you have the face of the God of Jacob. There's a transformational place there. I don't want to get into today. I just want to see this. Heard from verse 6, this is a generation of them that seek him, that seek the face of the God of Jacob. A whole generation will receive a Jacob transformation. Just like Jacob did. They call that land Israel because God renamed Jacob in a wrestling match. He wrestled with God all night. And God changed him that day because he stood in the face of God. Then he took him back to Bethel. I think it's in Genesis 35, and he swore to him, this is your land, a nation will be named after you, a people, a company of nations will come out of you, kings will come out of you. And he reaffirmed the covenant, and that's where they got the children of Israel. He didn't say the Jacobites. They're not Jacobites because Jacob was a swindler. Jacob was a bit of a deceiver. Got to name a generation after your old man. He names a generation after your new. Jacob was as carnal as could be. But God did not and was not intimidated by his carnality. In fact, he brought him before his face and he took him out into his future. Just like he did Abraham. Just like he did Joshua at the Battle of Jericho. We have a whole series called The Face of God. And he walked him out and spoke in passing. Thy name has been Jacob. Thy name is Israel. A company of nations have come out of thee. A nation is born out of thee. He spoke it as done because he was standing in a position called done. I don't want to belabor that today. But there's a generation that's going to receive this same level of transformation. God's not going to get this done out of our carnality. He's going to get it done out of the air inside of us. There's an air inside of every one of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sometimes he comes out and everyone's like, man, look at that. Then sometimes the other one comes out and goes, oh my God, look at that. And the hard part is when you're a pastor and everybody sees the old man and we're like, you know, because nobody wants to see. Some pastors are really good at hiding it and some are not. So anyway, so when the old man comes out, I'm like, this is, we're just like you. We just have a gift of God. When the glory comes out, everybody goes, yeah, but when the flesh comes out, oh my God, you have Jacob and you've got Israel. Just remember Israel. Because if you focus on the Jacob, you can get bitter quick. You get in the wrong camp. There are people that go to churches and they focus on the Jacob. Everything that's bad. But God doesn't live in Jacob. He doesn't call a nation after Jacob. He calls a nation after Israel. They are called Israelites. Not Jacobites. There's a reason for that. Because God called a nation after his transformation. Here's what I want to see. Verse 4. So this is the generation that's going to go before his face. Verse 7. Lift up your heads. Who's he talking to? The generation that go before his face. Lift up your heads, O you gates. God, as you open the windows of heaven, you are the window of heaven. You are the gate. He sets before you an open door. The river's coming out of you. The gate is inside of you. He's in the new man, the Israel. Lift you up, you everlasting doors. And the King of glory will come in. Where is he at? He's in the heavenly realm, but he is returning. And his glory is returning first. His crown is returning first. He's sending his angels out in front of him like he always does. He's sending his power, his glory, his witness, his testimony. And the church gets that glory. Who is this King of glory? Now he's described two ways. I want you to see this. The Lord strong in battle, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Does that sound like the Lamb's coming out of the throne? The Lamb was in the beginning. He gave his life. He was slain. He's not coming back like that. He's coming back with the roar of the lion. And all the nations is going to hear his roar. They're going to see him. He's going to start preaching the gospel like he did in the days of Moses. Where whole nations will watch him do it. I mean, Egypt. By the time God was done, they knew he was the living God. Because he swallowed up their entire army in a sea. By the time the plagues were done, they were just like, get out, get out. You know what? If I'd have been an Egyptian, I think I would have just, you know, I think I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say, if I can, just let me go with you. I'll be your servant. You have all my silver, all my gold, but I'll be your servant. But I'm not sure I want to be with these frogs anymore. I'm waking up stepping on frogs. I don't like them to this day when they're in my driveway. I'm like, get out. I don't want to pick them up either. They just, ew. The frogs, the lice, river of blood. Could you imagine a river of blood, the stench that went out through? They just like, get out. God is going to preach a gospel like this where whole nations watch him and they're going to know. They may not like it, but they're going to know. Because they are provoking a response from heaven now. A response, and a lot of these demonstrations will be done by the heirs of God that will walk the face of the earth, that know their God, and he will be with them like this. Part of the way he'll be with us with his plumb line. And then watch the next verse. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of the angelic armies of heaven. He is releasing his armies in this hour. He is releasing an unprecedented army. The reason they're coming out, because they're going to administrate the power of his crown, which he is sending in advance. I mean, you have to get to understand the imagery of the right hand of God. You have to understand the imagery of heavenly things. The way you do is you dive in. You have a capacity to assimilate environment. I'll explain it like this. You can go to school, to Spanish class in school, and el perro equals dog, you know. And they'll go one thing after another, and then you're going out there to try to listen to them, and they sound like this when they're talking. Because that's exactly what they sound like. I mean, I don't know what you just said. Slow down. I thought I heard perro there somewhere. Or they can parachute me into Mexico with no formal teacher, and within a year, I'll be speaking that language. Because I get assimilated, and God's given us a God-ordained ability to assimilate an environment that you're in. Because the culture is being assimilated. You're going to assimilate. You're going to be a product of what you're assimilating. It doesn't matter. So if you assimilate the culture of the right hand of God, you're going to understand it. You're going to start operating like it. You're going to understand the imagery. Suddenly, when you stood first time here, I understood a word he said. And then suddenly, I understand everything. Oh my God, the light will start coming on. God will start revealing who you are. God will start revealing the capacities of the end time generation, his angelic armies. Let me say this. Go back to Zechariah 4. This right here is a heavenly chapter. This is no earthly chapter. You understand what's in here? You're understanding God's end time plan. It's all embedded there, the whole thing. Yep, it is. With olive trees and a dude named Zerubbabel, it's there. He's a king. This is the King of glory here. This is speaking of Christ and his return as the king. I want you to look at verse 6 for a minute. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, because I'm going to show you this plumb line. He said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Who art thou, O great mountain? The great mountain in the earth. Name it. Political mountain. Mammon. Now there's a religious war that you can't put out that with all the discussions in the world. That level is only going to be put down by the living God. You can't reason with people that want to wipe you off the face of the earth. There is no reason. They're taught that from a child, that you are Satan. They're little Satan. We're big Satan. They're taught that. It has been so pounded into them. It's unfortunate because those are just people, but they're a product of the leadership and the way they're raised. And it's hard. I mean, it's hard because you have compassion on people. I mean, you don't want to see this on any side. But the fact is that there are people that don't even acknowledge their right to exist. And if they had their way, they wouldn't have acknowledged our right to exist. Period. That's just the way they believe. They also believe in an end time event that requires the utter destruction of America and Israel. It's what they're taught. You just have to understand it. Not all of them, but there where it's really deep in that terrorist stronghold, that's the way it is. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain or leveled ground. Notice the terminology, leveled ground. It means there are no mountains. It means he is in a state of dominion over the entire earth. Every mountain's been flattened. There's no mountain above him. It's flattened, leveled. Every stronghold's been put under his feet. Jericho, the walls coming down. This is how it works. He said, it become level ground, and he will bring forth the headstones, final stone in the building. The final stone. Some of the translators say final stone. Being brought to set into the temple. This stone is going to remove everything in its path. You're looking at a picture of the crown. He's going to bring out his final stone. He's going to administrate through his plumb line. He says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, despise not the day of the small beginning. So wherever this thing originated, it was a small beginning. Which is this next verse? I want to say this, and I'm going to show you this stone for a minute and its power. Just remember, they are stoners at one time. Verse 9, more of the word of the Lord, the hands of Zerubbabel laid the foundation of this house. Do you know that that has happened? The foundational revelations of this end time kingly house have been laid down. The mysteries have come out. His hands will finish. Verse 10, who's despised the day of the small beginning? For they shall rejoice and see, say rejoice and see, the plumb line in the hand of the king. He's going to drop it down from heaven. It's not really a string and a tongue. It looks more like a cylinder of fire that surrounds like that. If you look at that and flip it like this, like a frisbee, it drops down. The authority's coming down. He's going to drop that authority into the earth with his heirs. And in that, there's going to be the seven spirits of God, the angelic host of heaven, a wall of fire, chariots of fire. His army is going to administrate dominion in the midst of that. And it's going to operate according to your faith. Somebody told me recently that they were dealing with some very serious spiritual oppression. It was like a fog around them. When they drove in, they were driving into the city. And they said when they got around, I guess maybe it was Rosenberg or something, they said suddenly they feel it started lifting off of them. Listen, the way this plumb line will work is wherever it's drawn, administrated by faith, evil will be displaced from the midst of it. God will send his angels and dismantle darkness in the midst of it. Wherever you know your authority is operational, we teach people, they come in on Tuesdays. We have a lady that stands in the school district. We teach her how to plumb line. Drop that plumb line over your school district. She does do it. Drop it over the school and speak. Drop. When you pray for Israel, they say, God, bless Israel. No, say, Father! Send a wall of fire around Israel this day. Be the glory in her midst. Be the chariots of fire all around Israel this day. Release your angelic armies of heaven this day for the protection. Send them out this day, the warriors. He has hornets. God, when he was mad at Moses and Israel, he wasn't mad at Moses, when he was mad at Israel, he said, listen, I'm going to fulfill my word to you, but I'm not going with you, but I'll send my hornets. They'll get the job done. He's got hornets. You ever seen a hornet? I don't care how big you are, how many muscles you got, how tough you are, your gun is not going to stop no hornet. You will run from that dude. He starts buzzing up in your face. Man, imagine God's hornets and the sting that they'll bring. He's got hornets, send the hornets. God has got all kinds of stuff up in there. It's the weaponry of the airs. God, isn't it amazing? He said this, he's got the ministering flames of fire sent to minister where? On the behalf of the heirs of salvation. Everybody's got guardian angels. We're talking about chariots of fire. We're talking about the heirs that understand what's going on. So God has this crown that's coming down, but it's dropped like a crown, a circular fashion or a surrounding fashion. It's an encompassing realm according to your faith. You should be dropping that over your house every day. When strife gets going in our house, I had to drop the plumb line. Now she dropped the plumb line. God straightened me out. Hey man, that plumb line aligned to me. That's a pretty big alignment. It'll put stuff in alignment. It's awesome. You speak. You won't grow weak. Let's go to Daniel. Okay, Daniel 2, and I'll close. So King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, called all his scholars. You know the story. Called them all, every one of them. None of them could tell him the dream. They bring Daniel forward. And what's the first thing Daniel said? Well, where are your astrologers? Your soothsayers and magicians, where are they? Not only did Daniel interpret the dream, he told him what his dream was. But he has this dream, and it was about these kingdoms. It was the unfolding kingdoms. Babylonia, Persia, the Medes, the Greeks, and then the Roman Empire, and then the revised Roman Empire, which is the final kingdom. And it was unfolding revelation of the kingdoms that would rule the world over the next generations. Okay? Daniel starts interpreting. Verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king demanded cannot wise men, astrologers, magicians, soothsayers show you." He goes, "But the God of heaven reveals secrets." And then in verse 34, he's describing it from 31. He's describing the feet of clay. He sees the great image. Hold this to it. He sees a great image in verse 31. Verse 32, he says his head was gold. That was the Babylonian kingdom. And then the head of gold. And then it was the arms of silver. That was the Medo-Persian Greece Empire. Then the iron clay. That was the Roman Empire. And then at the end, he sees this. And he goes, then there was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold. And he sees this. Feet of clay. This is the revived Roman Empire, the final empire, the one we're in today. This is the unfolding event. Verse 34. Then sawest till that a stone that was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, whereof the iron and the clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken in pieces together and became like chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. For the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And look at verse 45. For as much as thou sawest the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, till it brake the pieces of iron, brass, clay, and silver, and gold, the great God has made known to the king, which will come to pass in the last days. He's bringing a stone, a crown, a stone, and the nations will be broken under it. Even the angels will cry out, now as the kingdoms of this world become the kings of our God, it's an alignment rod that will align the nations to his will. It's going to judge the systems of the world during our time. It's going to judge people in the tribulation era, and he's going to rule and reign with it. It's a crown coming out of the heavens made without hands, and there's nothing anybody can do to stop it, and there's no kingdom on the face of this earth can stand against it. This is the imagery of the crown crushing the kingdoms of this world to clay, to chaff like the wind. They will not stand against his authority and dominion. He's coming back with his army. He's coming back with his crown. He's coming back in his glory. He's not coming back as a suffering servant. He's coming back as the king, mighty in battle. He's ready. He's been given the authority for transformation. Once again, I'll shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. The treasures of all nations will come into my house. He's going to align the wealth of this world to his people. He's going to align evil. You're going to start seeing whole pockets of evil being removed from the earth. whole cities. And the Lord spoke to this to me yesterday. Said it will be atmospheric like the days of the Welsh revivals. When the crown arise, it's going to put evil down atmospherically. Like the days of the Welsh revivals, where bars would close down because the mighty conviction of God came out over the whole city. It went down into the coal mines, where the guys couldn't even say a word without cussing. It got into the atmosphere and started a transformation wherever it was. This, my friends, are the days we're living in. This crowning stone is a word that was sent 35 years ago, and it's coming out. It's coming out like living waters, and everything that's dead will live again. There's all kinds of imagery. Some image is the crowning stone. The other imagery is a living water. It's going to swallow up death wherever it finds it. Somebody say amen.